Now open your Bibles with me to Philippians, the third chapter. Now this is a most familiar scripture, which you've heard many, many, many times. But let's read it again and pray that all of us might indeed hear as Lydia heard. Now this is the letter to the church at Philippi, and in chapter 3, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, finally rejoice in the Lord." This is one of the themes of this book. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. About 10 times. The apostle exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. And that doesn't mean outward emotion altogether. It may lead to that. But this rejoicing is in the heart at all times. I'll rejoice in the Lord, David said, at all times. Rejoice in the Lord, in heart, in spirit. And he says to write the same things, the gospel, redemption, the person and work of Christ, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not and never will be tiresome, will never be grievous or tiresome. And for you it's safe. You need, all of us need to hear the gospel over and over and over again. Promises of God in Christ Jesus. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. And then in verse 2, he warns this church against false preachers. And we are literally surrounded with them. They were too. And there were false prophets in the days of national Israel. And Peter said there shall be many false prophets in these days. Beware, and Paul's strong. Oh, how strong he is in denouncing these covetous men. He says, beware of dogs. Dogs, and the reference there is to Isaiah 56, verse 10. You might want to turn over there and note the scripture. In Isaiah 56, Isaiah 56, verse 10. You might want to look at this. He says, his watchmen are blind. These men who claim to be his watchmen. They're ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And they're greedy. Greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one for his own gain, from his own quarter. They're covetous men. Not interested in God's glory or the good of the people, but their own well-being and welfare. And you beware of them. Beware of evil workers. These are religious men too. You know, in Matthew 7, when our Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, many will say unto me in that day, why, Lord, we preached in your name, and we did many wonderful works in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And he said, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, evil workers. Ye evil workers. That's the ones. Beware of these greedy dogs. Beware of these evil workers. And beware of the concision. That's the circumcisers. People who demand that you, like I said this morning, do something to gain favor with God. that you do what they require you to do. They're circumcisers, they're organizers, they're legalizers, even baptizers. But they want you to do something that they may glory in your flesh. Stand or raise your hand or write in or send something or all this thing. Do something. That's the circumcisers. They're flesh merchants. That's what he calls them. Flesh merchants. They're soul merchandisers. They're not interested in the person, because the person to them is just a means of gain. You got to beware of them. Beware of them. And they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they're ravening wolves. They'll devour you. Dangerous. Dangerous. Even Satan changes himself into a minister of light. Is it any wonder that his ministers present themselves as ministers of righteousness, holiness, morality? Beware of them. Listen to verse 3. We're the circumcision. That's Israel. We're true Israel. Who is true Israel? Everybody claims to be true Israel. Well, who is true Israel? What are the marks of someone who is truly the child of God, the elect of God, the prophet of God, the minister of God? Who is true Israel? Well, he said there's three undeniable marks. The first one is this: they worship God in the spirit. Not in the form, not in the letter, not in the doctrine, not in the flesh, not in the tradition, not in the custom, in the spirit. Heart. That's where they worship God. They worship God in the spirit. Broken, contrite spirit. Their hearts, like I read this morning, that man after God's own heart. Heart to heart. Heart to heart, they worship God. And secondly, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. It's what our subject is tonight. He's all and in all. He's all to them. He's their wisdom. He's their righteousness. He's their sanctification. He's their redemption. He's their life. He's their salvation. He's their foundation. He's their hope. He's their security. He's all and in all. They rejoice only in Christ, not in anything, in experience or profession or works or heritage or ancestry. Nothing. Nothing. They rejoice in Christ. Christ alone. Christ alone. Alpha, Omega, beginning or end. They rejoice in Christ. Only in Christ. That's the circumcision. And thirdly, they have no confidence in the flesh. Mine or yours or anybody else's. No confidence. They build nothing on this flesh. Nothing. There was a noted preacher on television last Sunday. A Sunday before, Brother Thornberry was telling me about this. And he was busy trying to get people to do something, to give, or be good stewards, or tithe, or witness, or win souls, or come to church, or be faithful, or just do something. Because he said there's going to be a difference between people in heaven. There's going to be some folks that get some rewards and some folks that don't. There's going to be some folks glad and there's going to be some folks sad. Well, that's not the heaven of this book. And that's not the grace of this book. And that's not the God of this book. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. The thief on the cross who died in the 11th hour, who never worked, who never walked, who never witnessed, who never washed, will be walking side by side with the Apostle Paul in the same glory, in the same love, in the same mercy. There are no rewards Christ is my reward. Christ is our reward. We rejoice in Christ. Anything that a believer does, God enabled him to do it. Any gift a believer has, God gave it to him. Any service a believer renders, it's not him, it's Christ in him. Why should we take credit for what we don't do? He does it. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Don't be taken in by that foolishness. If you've got to be persuaded to honor God and love God and serve God for a reward, you hadn't heard the gospel yet. And then he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if you want to talk about what you've done and who you are, he said, let me talk about who I am and what I've done. If any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, do you? Does anybody want to talk about faithfulness and loyalty and morality and zeal and enthusiasm and intellect and all these things? You want to boast of that? Listen to me, verse 5. Why, he said, I circumcised the 8 days like the Lord himself, an Israelite of the stock of Israel. More than that, of the beloved tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin. I didn't come from Simeon or Dan or one of these others. I came from Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. My house and lineage is pure all the way back. Hebrews. I speak Hebrew, he said. As touching the law, a Pharisee. I climb to the highest recognition in the Jewish religion, just under the high priest, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, taught by Gamaliel. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Outwardly, the law, I kept it to the letter. But these things, listen, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss, total loss for Christ. I burn them, I bury them, I cast them behind my back. Don't even mention them. Don't bring them up. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, everything, heritage, ancestry, relatives, works, religion, all of these things, I count all things that I've ever done, ever given, but lost for one thing, for the excellency of the glorious excellency. And most of you here tonight know something about this, the excellency. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about, the excellency of Christ over all things, over angels, over Moses, over the law, over the priesthood, over Aaron, over all things. I count everything but loss for one thing, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what he's talking about when he said, oh, that I may know him. Know him. I don't want to know, especially know about him. I want to know him. Not just to be well-versed in the doctrine of Christ. I want to know him. I count everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of everything. And he did. Sitting in prison when he wrote this. This noted individual, this man who was known by kings, this man who was known personally by the high priest, this man of whom they said much learning hath made you mad. the court of Caesar. It cost him an awful lot to preach the gospel. But he said, that's all right. I do count all these things, but dung. I count them, but dung. But you somebody, Paul. He used to be. He used to be. But I count all these things but rubbish. Rubbish. That's so hard, so difficult for some folks to do. Count it but rubbish. But he counted it but rubbish, that I may win Christ and be found in him. In him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ. We don't live by faith. We live by Christ. We live by Christ. We don't live upon faith. We live upon Christ. And this righteousness is through the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, through faith. Through faith. Oh, that I may know him. What is he saying here? He's saying this. Eternal life is an impossibility. Is an impossibility. Not even a possibility of a man having eternal life apart from Christ. It's an impossibility. John wrote in 1 John, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's not even a possibility apart from Christ of having life. What's he saying here? He's saying that resurrection. Look down here in verse 11. If by any means, verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I tell you, a lot of folks in this world counting on being resurrected. They're counting on someday when the trumpet blows and the angel of God shouts and the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout. They're counting on being raised and going with him to glory. But I tell you, resurrection is a fantasy apart from Christ. You know what he said to Martha? She believed in the resurrection. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, your brother will rise again. She said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. Apart from me, there's no resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. You're looking at the resurrection. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You believe this? Believest thou this? Apart from Christ, resurrection's a fantasy. It's a dream world. Christ is our resurrection. He's the first begotten from the dead. And because he lives, we live. Peace with God is an impossibility except in Christ. Entrance, access into the presence of God is an impossibility without Christ. Look at Romans 5. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 5. Powerful scripture here. Listen. Therefore, Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's my peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. He said, my peace I give unto you. The world can't give you any peace. My peace. Listen to the next verse. By whom? Not by what, by when. By whom? Also we have access by faith into this grace. By Christ we have access into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is so clear from the Scriptures. That's the reason Paul said to write the same things to you. The same things to you. To me is not tiresome. For you it's so important. It's so safe. Colossians 1:19 says this. You don't need to turn to it. You know what it says. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know what that word fullness means? Fullness. I looked it up. Fullness means completion. Completion. Fullness means to finish, to level out. Fullness is that which fills up as content and levels out. It pleased God that in Christ should all fullness. Everything in Him. So eternal life apart from Christ is an impossibility. Resurrection apart from Christ is a fantasy. You're whistling, those people whistling by the cemetery. Peace with God is an impossibility without Christ, because Christ is every. In Him dwelleth all the fullness, completion of God, bodily. And I want to read you Ephesians 1. I do want you to turn to that. Look at this, Ephesians 1. Listen to this verse. This is so powerful. I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I'm not going to read that again. Did you read or hear all that? His. Listen. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Is it any wonder that Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Come thy fount of every blessing. Fount of every blessing. The only fountain around. He stood that on that last day of the great feast, and after the people had finished all of their 3 days going through the motions of religion and were going home, and He stood on the last day of that feast, and He cried as they departed from Jerusalem, ho! And they turned and listened. He said, everyone that's thirsty, come to Me. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Boy, they'd been 3 days in the doctrines, and 3 days in the sacrifices, and 3 days in the ceremonies, and 3 days in the religion, and 3 days in all this, going through the motion. He said, come to Me. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. I hope by your good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Let me show you 5 things and I'll I'll quit. Five statements for you to remember. Christ Jesus, all and in all. Well, I'll tell you this. He's all in the first creation. Scripture says he's before all things. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You read Proverbs 8 sometimes, talking about Christ and his glory from the beginning. He's all. Before all things, he made all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. And Paul said in Colossians, they were made for him. And by him they're held together. And he has all authority over all things. Thou hast given me all power in heaven and earth. And Hebrews says he's the heir of all things. God has vested everything in Jesus Christ. That's so. And because all things are his, created for him and controlled by him, then you believers rejoice. He can make all things work together for your good. That's right. The only way, and I hear every religious person in this world quoting, all things work together for good, not unless he's in charge. He's in charge. All things. Secondly, Christ is all and in all, not only in the first creation, but in the new creation. John Flavel said this, he's all from the Father. Don't expect anything else. But he's enough. He's enough. He's all from the Father. Secondly, well, I love this. He's all to the Father. This is my beloved Son. Hear him now. There's just something about a beloved Son. And this is my beloved Son. This is my ordained, anointed, appointed, beloved Son. Hear him! And they said, we'll not have this man reign over us. Old Pilate said, I wash my hands of his blood. He's still washing them in hell, I imagine, too. Trying to. He's all from the Father. He's all to the Father. And listen, he's all with the Father. The Father said he's exalted him above all exaltation and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess he's Lord to the glory of God. And he's all that a man needs to come to the Father. He's sufficient. That's right. He's all from the Father. He's all to the Father. He's all with the Father. And he's all to anyone in order to come to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Thirdly, Christ is all in the gospel. Christ is the gospel. What did Paul say? He said, we preach Christ. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ. It's Christ who sent us to preach. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's Christ who gives us the gift to preach. It's Christ that we preach. You take away Christ, the preacher has nothing to preach and no reason to preach and ought to quit preaching. Is a man in darkness? He's the light. Is a man a sinner? He's the one who came to save sinners. Is a man hungry? He's the bread. Is a man thirsty? He's the water. Is a man poor? He's the riches. Is a man weary? He's our rest. Is a man weak? He's our strength. Is a man dying? He's the resurrection and the life. Maurice Montgomery preached here one time, and he presented several things I'll never forget. The difficulty that faces us. The awesome challenge before us. He said, there's a holy God whom I cannot please. In the flesh, no man can please God. But Christ did. Christ pleased him, my substitute. Secondly, he said, there's a holy law that I can't keep. Try as I may, I can't keep the least jot or tittle of that holy law. But Christ did. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. And he kept it in every jot and tittle. Far above us. He said, thirdly, there's a righteousness which God demands, which I cannot produce. But Christ did. He is our righteousness. He fulfilled every requirement, every law, every commandment perfectly. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his neighbors himself. Fourthly, there's a sin I can't put away. I just can't put it away. Can't even forget it. But Christ did. He bore our sins in his body and put them away. And he said he'll remember them no more. There's a justice that I can't satisfy. God must be just. God's a just God. And I cannot satisfy his justice. Justice, the law has a claim on me that I cannot fulfill. But Christ did. He came and died the just for the unjust. Enabling God to be just and justified. That he might bring us to God. Sixthly, he said there's a judgment that all men must face that I cannot endure. It says all men, small and great, shall stand before God. The sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And I saw all men stand before God. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. And I tell you this, I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to be in that crowd. Because I can't handle it. All I have to say is guilty. But Christ in the believer, for the believer, there's no judgment because Christ has satisfied all that judgment for them. Put it away. There's therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ. And then, seventh, there's an eternal death for all who sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. Now, how am I going to escape that? Death for sin. Well, he died for me and for you. And we don't face that death. That's the reason he said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Fourthly, Christ is all before the creation, in the new creation, in the gospel. Fourthly, Christ is all in the worship of God. God gave us the Lord's table. That's an ordinance he gave the church. But it's meaningless without Christ, isn't it? He said, "You, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death till I come." Christ is all concerning the table and the worship of the Lord in communion. The Lord gave us baptism. But what's baptism without Christ? It's meaningless. It's a form. It's when you bring an infant and put water on his head, that's meaningless form. Baptism is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The sinner standing in the pool saying, "With Christ I died, I'm buried out of sight. This old man, old flesh is dead. I'm risen with Christ to walk in newness of life." Baptism without Christ is meaningless. What about praise? What about singing praise in worship? Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. All praise is unto Him, the Lamb who's worthy. What about prayer? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. There's one God, one mediator between God and men. One advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate. The Lord's table, baptism, praise, prayer, all of it without Christ is meaningless. And then fellowship. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. We talk about fellowship. John talked about fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That's where the fellowship is. We fellowship with one another in Christ. And that's the basis of it. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Listen. God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, schisms among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Whose mind? The mind of Christ. The church is not an organization that's brought together for social purposes or for community welfare purposes. It's the body of Christ and our fellowship's in Him. Now, we do these things as God enables us, but our fellowship's in Christ. He's all in the worship of God. All right, here's the last thing. Christ is all in every grace. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ, be found in Him, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection. Listen, every grace, it's all about Christ and in Christ. Let me share this with you. Number one, shall we speak of faith? He's the author and finisher of faith. Shall we speak of love? He said, you love one another as I love you. Shall we speak of hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's faith, hope, and love. It's all in Him. Shall we speak of forgiveness? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Shall we speak of humility? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Shall we speak of giving? The whole 8th and 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians talks about giving and sums it up with this. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Shall we speak about the Holy Spirit? Christ said when He's come, He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. He'll not speak of Himself. He'll glorify me. Shall we speak of perseverance? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we speak of discipleship? And service, our Lord knelt and washed the feet of His disciples. And He said, if I, your master, have washed your feet, you ought to do the same. That's the basis. Christ. Eternal life, an impossibility without Christ. Resurrection, a fantasy without Christ. Peace with God and access to the Father without Christ.